Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated. I was going to have the choir, the young sisters, I think they've been practicing their song, but I'll do it afterwards, all right? If not, I'll make sure Wednesday we can hear the song that they want to sing. May His peace rest upon you all today. May His mighty anointing fill your hearts, that we may be overshadowed by His Spirit. For this hour is going to take that. Truly is saints. We're going to have the mind of Messiah. Can't have a natural carnal mind. It has to be a spiritual mind. And that mind minds the things of the Father. It's drawn unto those things. It finds strength and delight in those things. Because the marvelous light of His power is revealed. You understand that marvelous light of Yahweh? It is one of awesomeness, but also with fear. There must be a reverence there. When He began to open up things unto us, there must be a reverence of fear there. That when He entrusts you with a certain thing, you do not sell it like Esau for a pleasure of your flesh. And he sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. I want to say to us saints here that we truly don't know the scriptures. I don't say that as mockery. I say that to show us how far and how we have fallen from the depths of this truth. As I see things, I say, Father, is that plain? It is so plain that it's there. Now, you should know whether I'm a man of Yahweh, if I'm sincere. There's only one way you're going to know that. It's by the fruit that I bear. My fruit are righteous. They're corrupt. They're sincere. They're not that I'm not a true man of Yahweh. You will know them or the tree by the fruit it bears. If I bear corruption, then I'm not a true man of Yahweh. If I bear sin, you see that is a thing that is constantly shining forth from this man, lust of every sort, given over unto every kind of vile, unclean thing, then you will know that I have not been directed by the Father. Now that is not hard to judge. I don't mind you judging me for that. Because in that then I find correction when I'm judged. But if I'm a man that speaks the truth, it behooves you to obey and to hear what the Father says. This is a generation that think that they're going to do it alone, but they're not. No. In sundry times He spoke unto us by the prophets. And now He has given us a more excellent way. He speaks unto us by the volume of the book. Lo and behold, I come in the volume of the book. It's what Messiah said. For it is written of me. And this is how you're always going to speak to man. It's a walk of faith that you believe the scriptures. And he is not going to come down and speak to these little corrupt minds that reject even this. Messiah said, if ye believed Moses, then ye would have also believed me. For Moses wrote or spoke of me often in the Torah. So if you do not believe Moses, you do not believe me. Messiah sent out those men. He said, that one that receives me receives him that sent me. And they that receives you receive the one that sent you. And they were sent of Messiah to speak of this marvelous light that we need to begin to walk in. It is one thing that light does. It reveals every flaw, every corrupt thing. And there's one thing about this generation, because it is a very self-righteous one. They are self-righteous in their own conceit. They're conceited about them. They think it's them, but it's all about Yahweh. Now, I want to be guided in the scriptures, and I want to read some things, and I want to know whether you concur with them or not. I want to be guided. The scripture says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I would have begun reading at verse 15. Now, either this is truth or it is not. It says, as Paul exalted Timothy in the labor of love that Yahweh had placed upon this man to stand with strength and in all of his power. And he said unto Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. That is in the indication of plurality there, more than one. He said, you have known the written truth, you have known the word, not understood it. He said, you have known. It is an understanding of scripture that you have known from a child. And there are things that we have known because of our traditions and our ways. And we have walked in those things. But Paul said to Timothy, you have known the scriptures. There has been clarity given unto you from the scriptures. He said, which are able to make thee wise. Now, look at that now. Unto Yahshua. Salvation. That's what he said. He said, through faith which is in Messiah Yahshua. The scriptures now. That is the only thing that is able to make us wise unto salvation. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Has nothing to do with your emotions. Has nothing to do with things that you perceive to be right. It is the scriptures that make us wise unto salvation. How is it now? Listen to this. We don't even thoroughly understand the word save or salvation. How is it now? The scripture says in Numbers, how that Yahweh delivered Israel, listen to me, out of Egypt and saved them that believe, and yet he destroyed them that he saved because of unbelief. Is that salvation? You see, we don't understand things. We think we do, but we truly don't. You always put it in my heart. I'm going to preach something very profound on Wednesday. I wanted to do it today, but I want to continue in the scripture way, all right? And he says this now in verse 16. We're dealing with scripture. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh. Do we believe that this volume of this book is given by Yahweh's inspiration? Do you truly believe that? Do you believe that this book, all scriptures in this book, do you believe that this scripture is given by Yahweh's inspiration, that he inspired? Do you all believe that? I believe that. Whether you concur with it or not, it is given by his inspiration. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh. And look at the degree of scripture. First of all, it is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for discipline, disciplinary actions. To bring you into a disciplined fashion, that's what doctrine is. That you are disciple after that order or the revelation of that knowledge. So all scripture is given, and it is, first of all, it is profitable. It profits a man in doctrine. When a man truly begins to understand the doctrines of Yahweh, that man will begin to prosper. There's a bright, glorious light that shines from him. First of all, it's profitable for doctrine. Now, what is scripture? All scripture. Not some now. All scripture, it is first of all profitable for doctrine. It is for reproof. And that is to correct one, and to do it vehemently, and to do it with shame placed upon it. That's what scripture is for now. You can reject this. But you will never come to the marvelous light of knowledge, revelation, and understanding when you reject scripture. And he said all scripture. What a profound word Paul used, all. All, there is nothing miss. Do you believe that? If Yahweh uttered today and he said, all of you in this little tabernacle are going into the kingdom. Does he mean all? He means all. And all is inclusive. Everything. Nothing is outside of that. He said, all scripture. You believe that? Now I want to drive something home to you today because I believe scripture too. I believe all scripture. Now there's scripture I will look at. And it caused me to frown upon it because it's a direct indication or indictment of me. It causes me not to want to read it. I don't know if that's with you, but it has been with me. I don't know about you. It causes me to say, I'll look at something else because it personally, it indicts me. Show me my flaws, my inabilities, my emptiness. That's why it's not going to be done by my pipe. Power. He's going to do all this by His Spirit. And Yahshua is the spirit of prophecy. No one else. He said all scripture is given by the inspiration. It is inspired by Yahweh. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Man walking away wrong, scripture given for correction. It is profitable for correction. You start out a way, scripture corrects you from walking that way. You begin another way, scripture corrects you. No, that's not right. Only scripture can do that. No tradition, no emotions, no feeling, only scripture. Well, I will wait for Yahweh to talk to me. He will only talk to you by scripture. He is not going to lead you no other way but by scripture. For He is scripture. If you don't believe scripture, He will never lead you. This is this pollution that this wicked whore has spilled throughout the world today. They tell everybody you're on your own, you can seek your way and He will lead you. No, He will lead us by scripture. And scripture will reveal Him. His mighty power, His place, His position, His place in your life. What He disagrees with, scripture will do that. You tell me you never read scripture. And it actually condemns you? I have. And the beauty of that, you have faith to believe scripture. Faith. Just to believe it. Why? Because He said it. And yet He has not shown Himself in an obvious way by speaking to you saying, Jeff, He simply laid down the law by scripture and you believe that by faith. And that's the beauty of it. And so that's what this serpent of hell wants to do. He wants to take you away from the comfort of scripture. And he is doing that as Evangelist Horn would say all the time. They're going to take the scriptures from you. Well, we had no indication of what that brother was saying. And now we can see that and understand that thoroughly. Scripture is given to correct you. Scripture is given to correct me. That is what all scripture is given for. To correct us as well. We have started out a way where we, quote, saved or got saved, unquote, and yet scripture has corrected us, and scripture will correct us. For He is the fullness of the volume of the book, Messiah. When we get into the kingdom, we're going to be of the same fullness. Men today, I say this, there's very little fullness of the anointing. You look in the scripture and see the men that were full of Yahweh's anointing, men like Stephen. They had excellent spirits, men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were full of Yahweh's anointing. As you look at the profound works that were done in those men, the anointing came upon Messiah without measure. And we need that. We need that. How do we do that? Well, first of all, He fills us. And He brings us together in this collective order that there's no measure of the power and the anointing that Yahweh's people possess opposing the enemy. That's the only way it's going to be done, saints. No other way. He says, good for correction, for instruction. There's only one instruction in righteousness. Not instructions. Because you take one scenario and you all counsel one on that one scenario. You give your opinion about instruction. Hers diverse from yours. Yours diverse from mine. Mine diverse from hers. There's only one instruction in righteousness. And that is Messiah, the fullness of the law of Almighty Yahweh. For in Him the law is finished and complete. And we are in Him. Only one instruction in righteousness. You understand that? For what reason? Now, this is the reason. that the man of Yahweh, that the saint, may be perfect, complete, their minds are stable, steadfast upon him, that they may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that is what scripture is given for. It must first of all, it must put or establish some profitability in you by doctrine. And that's what their doctrine, some of the first things we learned, the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, the doctrine of marriage and things of that nature. And then it corrects us in our knowledge and aspects concerning those things. Certainly it does. It began to show us how far away we were from him. And it constantly corrects us as we walk this way. Constantly. It's almost like the military. If you've ever been in the military, it's constantly, you're constantly being drilled. You come into boot camp, you're constantly drilled. They drill you day and night until it becomes a rhythm in your mind and in your spirit. One of the first things I realized after basic training out of the military, as I began to walk through airports or wherever, my erection, the way I was erected, my walk and the way I stood, it was a byproduct of what things had been drilled into me. And in the midst of that, they reproved me, they corrected me. And yet because those words ring deep in my soul, I was correct in my posture, the way I walked and the way I stood. Now that is what scripture does. It corrects us. Scripture. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. I'm going to read that. Paul, as he quotes this profound utterance of Messiah, he said, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me." For what? To do the will of Yahweh. He said, "I come in the volume of this book, Messiah." There's only one thing, and that is to do the will of my Father. Hebrews 10, verse 7. In the volume of this book, he has come. And he has shown us the purpose of the will of Yahweh that was wrought in him. Now David, with the same utterance in Psalms 40 and verse 7. Psalms 40 and verse 7. He said, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me." The volume of the book, he said, as the scripture was revealed unto Paul by scripture. That scripture is what corrected Paul in his Pharisaic walk. Showed him how far he was from the profoundness of Yahweh's truth. For in the volume of the book, it is written of him. Do you believe that? I do. And the volume entails all. Not just the new covenant, but all. It entails that. As Messiah said unto Satan, Matthew 4, verse 4. Do you believe this? As he spoke this unto Satan. Listen to this. I want to read it carefully. Because I don't want to misplace or misquote any word. It says in Matthew 4 and 4. Do you believe this? I do. "But he answered and said, it is written." You know the story here or the encounter? Yahshua in the wilderness tempted of Satan. And one of the most profound things he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh." Not some of the words, but every word. I believe that. And so Paul, even as he wrote unto Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. He could not speak something that was counterproductive That's to what Messiah said. It had to be at agreement, for they were one. And they spoke by the Spirit, because Yahweh is a spirit. We beheld the form of that spiritual power in the working of flesh in Messiah. That's why you have Trinitarians and such divide today, because they truly don't understand that. And most of us don't understand that. It's all about the Father. All about Him. It's all about Him. So He said, we shall live not by bread alone. You believe that? The natural bread you eat every day is not going to satisfy the hunger of your soul. What's going to satisfy you is by living by every word spoken, written by Yahweh. Now that's what Paul said, all scripture is given for profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And so scripture corrects us. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? We establish that. It is one thing I tell you, saints, that Yahweh must do. And He will, as He said, I will purge out from among you the rebels. He's going to do that. He said, and them that transgress against me. He's the one that does that. Not you or me. He's going to purge them out. He said, I'm going to purge out every rebel. Sure it is. He said, I will purge out every rebel. And then He goes on to say in that chapter verse, and they shall not enter in to Israel. See, they will not go into Israel. And that is the bowl of the place of eternal peace and glory before the presence of Yahweh. So we establish that all scripture, we believe that. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's one thing that we must do, saints. We cannot despise, as Solomon said, my son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh. And he goes a little farther too. And he said, and be ye not weary when he correcteth thee. He correct us by scripture. Nothing else. That's why a man must study. And when men don't study, they study to move their mouths and their tongues. You study because scripture will correct you. And if you think that Yahweh is going to come down and talk to our little rebellious, wicked minds, He's not going to do it. As I did a search this morning as Him speaking to man in the New Covenant in the Testament, or spoke to them. I know how He spoke. We just don't know the scripture. We don't. When that proverb of the master, the husbandman that lent on his vineyard, the last one he sent was his son to speak. Nothing else. Nothing else. He didn't send an angel. He did not send a garrison of men, because he could have done that and overthrew them. He didn't do it. He spoke by the Son. And He said, if they will not receive that, then, as Peter said, He's going to miserably destroy them. And that's the only way He's going to speak. And His Son is the fulfillment of Scripture. He fulfills Scripture. The Son fulfills Scripture. And so behold, He comes in the volume of this book, because the book is written of Him. I want you to turn expeditiously to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. We all know this. I believe this. It is as relevant today as it was when Malachi wrote this 400 years before Messiah came. Is this scripture as well, Malachi? Is this not scripture? All scripture. Now, I want to read this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Now, I know what this charlatan whorehouse has done with this scripture. But it is still relevant today, as it was when Messiah fulfilled this, or when Yahweh inspired the heart of Malachi to write this. I believe this. We do it in a greater form today. We present our bodies We give all. No man possess anything that he called his own, because he knows that there's nothing he can take. Naked he came into this world, and it is certain he's not going to leave with anything. And so what if I guess the understanding of this, then that's why men can give like they give here. Those that don't understand it can't give. Now, do you believe this? I want to read it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Well, if I rob Elohim, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and in offerings. He means what he says. I believe that. I believe that. He said, ye are cursed now with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You believe that? You concur with that? Do you all believe me that they are cursed? When a nation robs Yahweh, that nation is cursed. I believe that. You believe that? I want to emphasize the word curse there. This curse. I know what these corrupt men do. They take that scripture and they rob the houses of widows and all to satisfy a fleshly drive. What about allows the power of the scripture to work in him and to operate, then that man is blessed of the Father. He is full of the knowledge and understanding of truth, because he knows that this life is a temporal thing. This old flesh is just the covering of the eternal. And that's all it was with Messiah, because it was the spirit of Yahweh in that flesh, Yahweh. He has never changed. He has never given his glory to anyone. He is going to be glorified as Yahweh. The Son and he are one. He said, bring ye all. Look what he used, all now. Do you think he means that? He means you to bring all your tithes into the storehouse. That's what the Father means. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, a fullness, a richness, that there shall be none, not room enough to receive that. You think he missed in words when he said, bring all your tithes and offerings unto him? Do you think he meant all, some? Paul said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh, and is first of all profitable. Do you actually think he meant for you to bring some of your tithes? We've done that. You say, well, if I give 500, that's too much. I'll give 250. That'll look good. He said, bring all. He said, bring all. What if I don't bring in but 250? That'll look nice. I'll hold back 50 for me and get another extra 100. No, he said, bring all. He said, bring all. I believe that. He said, when a man doesn't do that, he robs Yahweh, and that man is cursed. You're cursed. Whom Yahweh has cursed, no man can bless. And whom he has blessed, no man can curse. You believe that? I believe scripture, saints. Follow me, all right? It's going to bless you today. It's going to either bless you or curse you. One or the other. He said, bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat substance. What meat? Did not Messiah said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of, and that meat is to do the will of my Father. And what the meat does, it takes the burdens off the house of the people of Yahweh. There's no burden for a man for the natural meat to eat. That's why Yahshua said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And the power of this word, there is where the house is supplied. The need is taken care of. He said, when you do that, I will open up the windows of heaven. I will pour you out a blessing. Now, if you actually look up the word blessing and see, I know what man has done with that word blessing. It is a man being rich by Yahweh. He's full of his anointing, his power. He's walking in the fullness of it. And that's where we need to get to, the fullness of his power. And he said, look at this in verse 11. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and ye shall not destroy the fruit of the ground, and he shall not destroy the fruit of the ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. What are you saying? That you will come to the right ripeness at the right time. You will not become overripe. You will not be underripened. You will not be overripened, you will be ripe at the same time, at the right time. That will come into an age where we must be ripe. We come into a trial of tribulation that we must be ripe. If we have overripened, we're going to spoil on the vines because of what things we see coming upon us. We must be ripe. You understand, in sports, any kind of activity like that, challenges, it is always they want you to peak at the right time. And so even though we have walked in ways and done things, scripture is being opened out that we may be corrected, so we can be right at the right time. We can be ripened. Sure it is. Sure it is. Do you understand that even as we learn about farming and growing even the orchard, there's only one time of the year you need to fertilize the trees. And that is in the midst of the coldness of the weather, January. And then you prune them that time too. For the cold weather hardens, it kills many of the diseases, and it destroys life, funguses, and things like that. You wait until the latter part or the early part of the spring, then you're going to mess up. Because life begins to come alive. So you do all that in the midst of the winter. You correct those things then. And then that thing will be thoroughly furnished to bring forth fruit. Now that is what the Father has done. All of our religion, all of our traditions, have not brought us to a place whereby the mind of Yahshua exemplifies in us. We got natural minds, we got carnal minds, we got black minds, we got white minds, we got Jewish minds, we got Mexican minds. There's only one mind. And that mind of the Spirit, mind the things that are heavenly. That's all it does. So what about brings all of his tithes and offerings? He shall rebuke the devourer for your sake. He won't destroy your fruit. Oh, you had a little fruit of love and it's been destroyed. A little fruit of faith, a little fruit of long suffering, and the devourer is destroying it. And he says this, and all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. I believe that truth. I believe that. You believe that? I believe that. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. He said, and all nations shall call you blessed and call you a delightsome land. Yahshua fulfilled this for us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Listen. But ye now are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I want you to keep note of that word, a royal priesthood. An holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him, look at this now, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? You acknowledge that? I do too. Do you believe this about tithes and offerings and gifts to bring all, as he said? I do too. Now I want to establish the fact that we are royal priesthood. I want to show you something in Scripture. All Scripture, isn't it, is given by the inspiration of Yahweh, isn't it? And it is profitable, first of all, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe that. Now turn back to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. He says in 3 and 9, ye are cursed with a curse. Malachi chapter 2 verse 1. Malachi chapter 2 verse 1. I want to begin reading. He said, and now ye, O ye priests. All scripture given by inspiration. Are we not a, look at me, I want all, please look at me. Are we not, look at me, saints. Are we not a royal priesthood? Are we not that? All right. That this is us here, and the old as well. Look at this. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. We are royal priesthood. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith Yahweh of hosts, I will even set a curse upon you. Hasn't changed. Same as tithes and offerings. Same, nothing any different. He said, because this nation has not given glory unto the name of Yahweh. He said, what's in a curse? You don't figure this one out. You just read scripture. Scripture's revealed. Scripture corrects you in your thinking, your logics, your traditions. If he will not hear, and if he will not lay it to heart to give glory and honor and praise to my name, saith Yahweh of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. He said, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Men today don't lay it to heart, his name. Oh, it's the same as tithes and offerings. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You got to come in at the scripture way. And that's why it's given to correct us. You walk away for 10 miles, and all of a sudden, you don't see no familiar landmarks. And he tells you, no, turn right there. Go the right way, that you may find the path of righteousness. He say, you better take this to heart. We're a royal priesthood. Now, if you're not a royal priesthood, this is not applicable for you. It's only to those that are part of the royal priesthood, all right? Peter said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we are part of that royal, kingly priesthood. And he said, oh ye priests, give heart to all scripture. And we are priests, we give ear to all scripture. We give heart to all scripture, not some scripture. We give heart to all scripture. He said, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith, now I know what it says in that text, saith Yahweh of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. What about laying something to heart here? Allows that to become predominant in his soul. Men don't lay it to heart. While I was seeking on my own, you're not going to find anything. The eunuch, I thought about that other day. I'll read that. The eunuch, he was over, listen, all the treasures. All of the treasures of Kanazi. All of the treasures. And he had gone to the proper place to worship, Jerusalem. Scripture said that. Scripture says that. He had gone to the right place, and yet Philip was there. He's reading from Isaiah. He did not understand that. But he had gone to the right place to worship in Jerusalem. In the book of Kings, it tells you in Jerusalem, he went there to worship Yahweh. He went to the right place. Search the scriptures. For in them ye, listen to this now, you that are components of once save, always save. He says, search them. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. Who? You are the ones that testify of me. You think you got it. You think you're right. Nah, my friends. We're going to do like that song says. Until, I like the singing like that. Until all the ransomed saints of Yahweh be saved to sin no more. 5 wise virgins. 5 foolish saved in the house. 5 wise had oil and their lanterns trimmed. And they had oil. 5 foolish did not. They were all saved too. They were all saved. And the master came. And the 5 foolish said, give us oil. And they said, no, not so. For we have enough. Save yourself from this untoward generation. He said to tell you to save yourself. See, every time the word saved is used in the scripture, it has different implications. He tells you to save yourself. Well, save yourself from the ways. Save yourself from the grief. Save yourself from the applications. That's why. If a man of Yahweh do not bear the fruit, he is not one. But I'm a man of Yahweh. Whether any of y'all concur with that, makes no difference. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have denied, and you will not give glory unto my name. And that's why men today, they cannot acknowledge him, because whom Yahweh has cursed, no man can bless. Whom he is blessed, tell me the name. When you find the Father's name, you will find the Son's name, for they are one. You understand as Yahweh, as even the words came alive in my spirit this morning, you can see as he opened up a certain knowledge to me how this Trinitarian doctrine, all these things have come about. The Father and the Son are one, and the name is the same. And so men have distorted the name of the Father, given the Son a different name, that it creates this individuality, this dual type thing. No, it's only one. Only one, Elohim. One faith. That's what it says. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism in that one. There's only one Elohim, one faith, and one baptism. Only one. No baptism of the apostolic, it's just Yahweh's baptism. No baptism of the Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostals. And they all got their own Lords too. There's a Pentecostal Lord. There's a Holiness Lord. There's an Apostolic Lord. There's a Baptist. The Episcopalian Lord say you can ordain homos. Now they were not the first ones to do that. The African Methodist Episcopalians. Of course, that's for Africans. That's for folks of dark-skinned nature. They got faggots. They got women. So what Lord is that one? Is it the same one you know? That's not the one I know. For all scripture is given to correct us and to instruct us, that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. That's what scripture is given for today. All glory unto him. Has nothing to do with you or me. Has to do with him. The scripture says in Acts chapter 17 verse 1. I want to begin reading. The apostle Paul, as he journeyed through Amphipolis, now when he had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, he had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, he came to, listen now, Acts 17, what? He came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. That is what scripture says. And Paul, now listen to this. Now Paul, as his manner was, Paul didn't have no trepidations. Very vociferous. He spoke with an adamant voice. He voiced what Yahweh had placed in him. Vociferous he spoke without any fear of his matter. He went in unto them, and their Sabbath days reasoned them out of the scriptures. They were Jews. He showed them how wrong they were. Not only he sat down and showed them, but he preached. Now that word reason in our vernacular in English would mean that you compromise. Say, well, what do you think? Well, this is what I think. No, that's not what Paul did. He literally preached. He enforced. You see what it says, as his manner was. You knew Paul's manner. Paul went to waste the synagogues. So he went in the same manner when he went into the synagogue of the Jews. It says in verse 3, opening and alleging. Opening now, as Yahshua opened up the scriptures unto them, that they could understand, Paul did the same thing. Opening and alleging that Messiah must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that Yahshua whom I preach is Messiah. It is Yahweh. It is Yahweh. Men are afraid because they have no understanding of that. They're trying to figure it out. It is simply revealed by scripture who he is. Scripture instructs us and corrects us. And it will destroy that dogmatic spirit of our doctrines and our traditions. You get that trash in, it takes a while to get that out. Do you understand if a man or person like myself that wants to lose weight, it is one of the most difficult things. For first of all, it requires, first of all, doctrine is profitable. Doctrine is discipline. It requires discipline first. And then you got to reprove yourself. You greedy hawk, you know you don't need that. And then you got to go beyond that. You see, then you got to correct yourself, your actions, your deeds, and the way you do things. What a marvelous light that is revealed unto the house, and only to his people was Yahshua revealed to. Only unto the house of Israel. Israel. And that's what he's going to do in this hour, whether we concur with that or not. That's the truth. It says in verse 4, and some of them believed. Look at this now. Only those that believed. They believed in that name of Yahshua because it was not spoken in the house. It was a thing that was too taboo. It was a thing that they said did this reverence to Yahweh. And that wasn't so. He never told them to do that. Listen now. Listen to this. Hear this, saints. Look at this now. It says this now. And some of them believed. As we have had here, even as I began to preach in the name. Some of them believed. And look what the ones that believed now, look what they did. And consorted with Paul and Silas. The ones that believe. They sought to understand it clearer. They consorted. Oh, the Spirit hasn't changed, saints. They consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of them, and of the chief women, not a few. Now listen to this now. Now the ones that believe, they consorted with Paul and Silas. But the Jews which believe not, move with anger and envy. You're moving me from my little threshold, my little place. Took up them certain lewd fellows. You know what lewd is? Wicked men. Vile, unclean. That's what they did. They sought out wicked men like them. But the ones that believe, they saw Paul, Silas, help us. We don't understand, but help us. Not a wicked man. Those that are lewd, they saw that men like them. Those that were the lewd fellows of the Bazer, the bastards, really, they're vulgar men. They saw that men that were vulgar and filthy and unclean. But those that believed Paul, even though they didn't understand, it did not say they understood, did it? Can I ask you a question, my friends? When you got saved, did you understand truly what salvation was? No. And so you consorted one that could give you understanding of that, didn't you? You found some preacher. Sure you did. If you had a consorted with those that were lewd men, you were lewd, weren't you? Weren't we lewd? Every kind of vile sin. You went back out there. And even those that you consorted with, they said, girl, come on. Come on, man. I never forgot my natural kinsman said to me, I like you better the other way. So if you consorted with the wicked, then they say, come on. So that's what men did here. That's what they do. Those that believe, now they didn't understand. They simply believe. They just believed. They didn't have thorough understanding. They just believed it. They laid down the Jewish traditions. They just believed. And so they began to say, Paul, help us to understand a little. We don't thoroughly understand. Paul said, that's what I want to do. Now those unbelieving ones, now they say they're saved and they're not saved. They move with envy. Now I can't come down from where I've been 30 years. Isn't that how they do it in these whorehouses? No, Reverend Jim, now you've been preaching that for 40 years. My granddaddy was a pastor here. He taught that. Now, you can't come in here. You can't come in here and change that for us. Sure they do. So, the deacon just decided you're going to have to go now. I know what I'm saying out there. And so you find on Reverend Jim, they vote him out. Because they consorted with each other. No, I think I can be a mason. Ain't nothing wrong with a little drink now. Ain't nothing wrong with doing that. I know I got a little girlfriend on the side. What's wrong with that? And of course, old Pastor Jim came in and said, you wicked lewd men. In hell, you're going to lift up your eyes unless you repent. No, we don't want that now. Same thing, no different. So the non-believers, they converted, they moved with envy, this hatred against Yahweh. And they took unto themselves certain lewd fellows of the baser or the vulgar type. Those don't care what they say. I'll tell them what I think. You damn fool! That damn name. So they took up. You don't have to say it, but I'm a preacher. I'm not mama's gent, wife's gent. I'm a preacher. I corrected Sister Robert. She says something to sister. I say, that ain't your place to do that. Leave that to me. I'll tell them what to do on that. Do righteous. And the sister do righteous too. I say, leave that to me. Sure, I'm not mama's sent. I'm not daddy's sent. And I'm not grandpappy's sent. I'm sent by the one that dwells in me. Whoever he takes me, I just go. I don't fear what man can do unto me. Nothing he can do but bless me. Even in death, he blessed me. And this is the bona fide truth I'm preaching. You reject it to your own peril. No, Yahweh's not going to come and talk to you and say, that's right now. He talked to you from Scripture. Because when I give glory to my name, ye are cursed. Even now are ye cursed. That is Scripture. He said, and gather a company. I saw that around here. A gathering of company. And set all the city on an uproar. And they assaulted the house of Jason. That's a beautiful name. Jason. What house they were in. They assaulted the house of Jason. Jason is the one that healed. Shesedine had a tremendous thing bringing forth them boys. Wreck and all of that right after that. That's what Jason is. One that healed. That's a tall order to live up to there, brother Jason. One that heal. So they assaulted the house of Jason. Why? Because he believed Paul and Silas. And they sought to bring them out of the people. They say, give us him. We want Paul. We want him. Now look at what verse 6 says. I did not copy that down. But look at what it says. I want to read that. Acts chapter 17 verse 6. Glory to Yahweh. Look at what this says here. I want to read that. Acts 17 verse 6. What a profound statement here. Look at what they said. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the ruler of the city, crying, these have turned the world upside down. And I come hither also. They have turned the world upside down, is what they said. You tell me two men, Apostle Paul and Silas, they literally turned the world upside down. They said they have disturbed every kind of doctrine, every kind of tradition. They have done that. They have disturbed our little way, our little avenue, the way we do things, the way we've done things. They come to our synagogue and showed us how wrong we were. Sure, that's what a true man of Yahweh will do. He'll show you how wrong you are and how corrupt you think and what kind of mindset you got. And the scripture tells us that they were led out of the city. I would have dropped down to verse 10. It says in verse 10 of 17 chapter of the book of Acts, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. You hear what it said? They went to Berea. It was a place of well watered. City in Macedonia. And that's what it was. A place of well watered. Well waters. Plenty of water there. And so that's where they sent them into Berea. That's where the brothers sent them. Who coming thither? When they went into Berea, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now he had just dealt with those Jews of Thessalonica, right? First verse, it talks about he was in Thessalonica. He left Amphipolis and Apollonia, and then he dwelt there in Thessalonica with those Jews in the synagogue.
So he went to the Jews in Berea. All right? And it says this now. These Jews were more noble. They were no more noble. They had a little more correction about them. They had a little more understanding. These Jews were more noble than those of Thessalonica. So you found some of those here in this house of the Basil salt. They were vulgar. You saw, found some that was a lewd. And you found those that were other. They were Bereans. The very man that quoted that scripture to me, look at the Bereans. He didn't even know what the Bereans did. I had to correct him. Now look at the Bereans now. Look at the Bereans. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Look at this now. In that they, first of all, they received the word with all readiness of mind. See, that's where you must start. You got to receive it. And men today don't receive it. You don't understand what receiving is. You don't refute it. You don't reject it. From the beginning, there were those that rejected his beautiful name. And so the Bereans, they received it with all readiness of mind. And then after they received it, they searched. They were eager with zeal, with determination. They searched the scriptures daily. Look for what? Where what? Whether those things were so. And those that are the baser sorts and the lewd sorts, they're vulgar, they're vile, they're filthy. They don't search scriptures. They search their wicked, lewd hearts. Tell me how lewd your heart is. Tell me some of the things that your heart thinks of. That's a lewd thing. For the heart is deceitful above all things. I'm desperately wicked. Who can know? Well, Yahweh knows the heart. And I tell you all something, hypocrites, every last one of you. I use that expression. You're only a hypocrite when you reject scripture. That before you also ascended, he descended. And he gave gifts unto men. You're not going to neglect this gift that he has given. He gave gifts unto men. He gives the gifts of salvation. How can you neglect this gift of Yahweh and think you're going to go into the kingdom? You're not going to do that. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You're not going to. Hey, when he gives a gift, every good and perfect gift, they that are the baser and the lewd sort, their minds are so corrupt, they don't know what's right. So ignorant of sins. That's the truth. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. You boasting? No, I know I'm a preacher. I know it. I preach. Why? Because it's about the foolishness of preaching. He's going to save you. He has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save us. And that's what the enemy wants you to reject too. Don't listen to preaching. Yeah, I listen to preaching. He says, so when he came there to Berea, those men, first of all, they received the word with all readiness. They received the word eagerness. They say, I haven't heard that, but I ain't going to fight against it. They received it with zeal. Wow, well, that's tough, but we're going to receive it. And then they, as Paul told them, as I tell you, they went to the scriptures, they searched them and see whether these things be so. The those that were the basis, they were unbelieving. They said, no, sir, they're going to crack up our little ring. We're going to come together. We're going to get some more lewd men like us, lewd women, and we're going to come against him. And so they come against Paul, that he had to flee out of the city. Verse 12 says, therefore many of them believe, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of Yahweh was preached of Paul in Berea, not the Jews of where? Jews of where? He just told us he had left Thessalonica, and these men of Berea was more honorable than the men of Thessalonica. They were more noble men. And when them fools heard about it, they came thither also to stir up the people. Do you hear that? That's scripture. It's not my rendition, it's scripture. Those fools heard from there, and they came to Berea to stir up the other folks. The men of Berea, they were more noble. They were more noble. And the women, they were noble people. They were noble. They said, we don't understand, but we'll hear him out and see what he says. And then if it's right, we search the scripture. And they are there, you can't deny it. Bring all your tithes and offering into the house of Yahweh, that there may be meat. He pour out a blessing, where there be not room to receive it. When a man doesn't do that, he's cursed. When a man, we are the royal priesthood, we don't give glory and honor to his name, then you're cursed and you're already cursed. And that's the truth. It's all about your way. And his name is not Lord. It's not pagan. It's not Jesus. That is a divide and a distortion. It is Yahshua. He came in his father's name. It's a pagan name. Jesus. And I say it with no fear. Those Greeks heard that name. That's why there were Greeks there. It says in verse 14, Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Timothy abode there with Silas because the works were not finished. The works had to be finished. I want to move back to the first chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 15. And Peter began to speak with a profound utterance. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. It said, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number, now listen to this, the number of names together were about 120. They all had names. The number of them, the names, they all had names. Men, verse 16, and brethren. He said, this scripture must need be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Yahshua. And the scripture in Psalms 41 and 9 speaks to that effect. It says, yea, my own familiar friend, and whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. I watched that here. Those that I trusted, familiar with, and yet they lifted up their heels against me. Because I preach in Yahweh's name. There's only one Elohim, one faith, and one baptism. There are not two or three different gods. You don't pray in the name of the Holy Spirit. You pray in His name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he says in verse 17, for he was numbered with us and have obtained part of the ministry. Talking about Judas, he was numbered with them. Did you hear that? Was Judas walking in the light? Sure he was. The scripture says he was numbered with us. And when one obtains something, it is in their possession. There's one thing that about this salvation, you must endure until the end. And then only the same shall be saved. You got to endure the opposition. You got to endure his correction. They that endure unto the end, only they that endure, the same shall be saved. I know what this whole house has done. They've allowed it, granted unto this generation. You do what you want to, anyway, how you want it, any time. And you're going to just serenade before Yahweh. Not so. He wants us to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. Now, judge your own heart. Is it being presented that way? That's just a reasonable now. That's just our reasonable service. Do you hear that? That's just your reasonable. That's just the least he requires. He said, for he was numbered with us, and he had obtained part of the ministry. He says in the 18th verse, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 11, concerning this. It says in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 11 through verse 13, and it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of Yahweh. Yahshua is the word of Yahweh. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. And if it not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Now who is that? That's the Messiah. 30 pieces of silver. That's what it cost. 30 pieces of silver he was sold. And he always said unto me, cash it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized at them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of Yahweh. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And the volume of the book, it is written of him, because the book is Yahweh. It's all about the Father, saints. That's what the book is about. Messiah, he is the anointed one of the Father to bring understanding and enlightenment of the book, of the volume. And the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was where? With Yahweh. That's where it was. You can't take that away. None whatsoever. The 19th verse. And it was known unto all of the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called by their proper tongue, a Sodoma. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written, look at this in verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalm. That's what's written. As Luke recorded that, he said, it is written in the book of Psalm, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishop prick, let another take it. And that's what it says in the book of Psalms, 69 verse 25. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. It is written in the song, let his habitation be desolate. And the habitation of Judas was desolate. His bishopric was taken and given unto another. Was he not numbered with the 12? And yet it was taken from him. You may be numbered in the house as Yahweh brought Israel out of Egypt. He saved them from the cruel bondage of Egypt. He saved them from the drudgery and the pains that the Egyptians brought upon them. And he brought them right to the wilderness. And the ones that did not believe, he destroyed them there in the wilderness. And he saved them. He saved them. He brought them out. Sure he did. That's what scripture says. I will emphasize that in a greater fashion in the weeks to come. Sure. We just don't know him like we think we do. Why? Because we haven't searched the scriptures. We haven't. We haven't searched. Do you understand what search is? Search. 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 Men will do all they can to search for a wife. A woman will do all she can to search for a husband. A mother will do all she can to search for a lost son, a long-lost daughter, or whomever. They will do all they can. I'll never forget, as you always spoke to my heart many years ago, when I wanted to really to know my natural father. He said, son, how do you come to know him? He said, you must search and seek out the record and find out whether it be so. So it is with him. You must search the record and seek out the details and see whether this Elohim, if he's the true one or not. And if he was that true to us, then we wouldn't fall into the drudgery of sin and darkness the way we do. He can't be that true to you. He can't be a true love. What that is a true love is faithful. A woman that truly loves a man, she's going to be faithful with him. She's not going to allow her thoughts to run rapidly after every kind of lust. A man that's true with his wife, he's not going to give his thought over to another woman to take some kind of pleasure with another woman. He's not going to do that. That's true love. All they can think of is that one. You don't believe that? Then read the Psalms of Solomon. Every aspect about her, she said, you enjoy me. Everything. For that was a true love. And so it's not that we, here in his love, not that we love him, but that he loved us. So until you understand his love, you will never understand love. And folks think they know love, they don't know love. It is nothing but hypocrisy and self-righteousness. You don't know his love until you know him. If your love is in deeds and actions, things you've done, that's not love. The world do that. That ain't love. It's amazing what thing I read on Wednesday night. I didn't know Sister Roberts had ran her mouth a little bit, but that's all right. She told me afterwards. See, Yahweh knows all things. I'm a man of Yahweh, whether you buy it or not. I know what love is. He is love. He is love. It's not some little feeling that goes up. That ain't love. That's foolishness. Love doesn't do something to make you feel good about it. Nah. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever shall believe in him. You got to believe in him. Come on, how can you believe in Yahshua if you don't believe that Yahweh sent him? The him is one now. The hymn is one. Ain't no two. It's one. Truth, old man. That's the truth. His bishopric was taken from him. Yahweh gave it to another. He took it from him. He said to Judas, as he said to Peter and Thaddeus, come follow me. Come follow me. And they follow. We're saved because we have been placed in his hand by the Father. Those that truly endure. The Father has saved us through that hope of Messiah. He said to the Father, he said, I've lost none. All that you've given unto me. The Father gave us to him. I've lost none. That we may have hope in the work that the Father had done in that body. That we will attribute it to him. It wasn't about the Son of Man, but it was about Almighty Yahweh. How did Yahshua come out of the grave? Did not the Father quicken him? Who quickened him? Who made him alive? Because there's no death in Yahweh. He's life. And he said, all that the Father, who is he talking about then? Some fictitious thing? Has given unto me, I've lost none except the Son now. The one that was destined for hell. Because given to their own will, their own desire, their own way. Satan didn't know what was happening. If he had known that, they would have never crucified him. So he didn't know that. Don't think he didn't try Peter. Peter the same one said, don't want me forsake you, I will not. He said, before the cock crow thrice, you're going to deny me thrice. You think he was not as guilty as Judas? Huh? It's just that Judas went out and he hung himself. Huh? He shunned. He died in his sin. Peter didn't do that. Old Peter found someone and said, man, I'm a fool. That's what he did. That's so. That is so. The scripture says, I'll read this. Glory. It says in the book of Acts, the chapter, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I see what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of Yahweh. I get glad. I'm glad when we come into the house to hear this kind of preaching. It blesses my soul. It really does. It gives me strength. It propels me to a different echelon. No, I'm not preaching some strange doctrine. I'm bringing glory back unto the Father. That's what Messiah came to do. We don't even think about, oh, we say God and Lord. No, but that's not him. The scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. I'm going to skip verses now. Just follow along with me. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of Yahweh spake unto Philip. Notice who spake unto Philip now. The angel. Saying, arise. Go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. There? Why there? Place of death? And he arose and went. So we hear the voice of Yahweh, we don't harden our hearts. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, and eunuch, look at this, of great authority, under Tanisi, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now those that knew the living Elohim, they went to Jerusalem to worship. 2 Kings 18:22 will tell you that. Just write them down. I'm not going to read them. 2 Kings 18:22, Isaiah 27:13, and Isaiah 36:7. Now this eunuch knew exactly where to go worship. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Was returning and sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Now that was the place that you went to worship. Hold that there. Let me turn back to John. John chapter 4. Now you know the story. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to show you in scripture. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. It's profitable. As Yahshua met the woman at the well, she says here in John chapter 4 verse 19. I'm going to go back to Acts 9, but I want to read this. The woman said unto him, John 4:19. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How does she do that? With just the things he said to her. See, this generation can't perceive those that are sincere. They're wicked. That the pays are sore, they're lewd. They can't perceive. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, look what she says. Now listen now. Now you have to read this in detail. Look up before then, read that. He did not say this to her. Look at this now. But she knew he was a prophet. And she knew what the prophet said. She said, our fathers worship in this mountain. And ye say, did he say that? And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's what the prophet said. Do you know what the prophet said? You say that's the place we ought to worship?